Check, check.
Gary Klankman.
Hey, Gary, this is Sam McClain from the Just Talk With Sam podcast. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Hey, I don't know what just happened, but it was the damnedest thing. My phone flashed for like a hot second, and then it just went away. But we're good now. If you're
good.
Ready.
I'm here. I'm ready.
All right. I hit this record button, so let's just jump right into it. We are already on the air.
Hello there.
Now, Gary, you are doing something very near and dear to my heart. I am a gamer. I know a thing or two about a thing or two in certain games. But before we get into it, you are the CEO and founder of the Wham Network.
That is correct.
Please, tell us a little bit about Wham.
Wham, digital network focused solely on the lifestyle and culture of gaming. Gaming defined as everything from esports to moms playing Candy Crush and Carpool and everything in between. We are distributed on OTT platforms, Roku, Dish, Sling, Zumo, Pluto, those type of networks, connected TVs, the smart TVs, Vizio, Samsung, LG, cable, Comcast, X1 Infinity in the next 3 weeks. And then embedded in mobile around the world.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I mean, just going over your resume, and quite honestly, I've kind of looked at it myself. It models it more of, for lack of a better term, ESPN type for all things gaming.
Yeah, we look at ourselves more as the MTV of gaming as opposed to ESPN, which, you know, conjures up just sports. But it's very similar. It's very, very, very similar. Our shows run the gamut from things like one show is called Game Bites, which is essentially Guy Fieri's Drive-In Diners and Dives, where our host goes into a barcade, plays whatever the genre of games that barcade is known for, interviews the owner of how they got into the bar, restaurant, gaming business, and then they go into the kitchen and they cook and eat whatever the most popular menu item is from that restaurant. And each episode is a new and different barcade. There's another show called what's a good one for you? Page Up, which is really the collision of books and literature. Games and literature, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Where the hosts look at a game and a specific thematic, and then each one of them selects a piece of literature that is centered in the same thematic, and they have a robust conversation of how that is treated in a book versus in a game. There's another show called Gamer IRL, and each episode is a day in the life of somebody in gaming. An esports lawyer, a professional esports athlete, a team owner, an artist, a musician. It's somebody that is a full-time gamer or someone in gaming, and we just follow them and find out how they got into it, what they love about it, because gaming now is a career and can be a career for lots of people that never thought it was anything other than a leisurely activity.
And that's correct. I mean, like, as we saw, I mean, like, there's a lot of Wham does host a lot of esports and e-tournaments, and some of those grand prizes you can live off of for a while. So, yeah, that is true.
Yes, I mean, listen. The Dota 2 tournament that I think ended 2 days ago, the prize pool was $24 million. The winning team, which I believe was six players, split 50% of that. So that's, you know, $12 million for winning a gaming tournament.
That's correct. Now, one thing I got to know, what made you want to just chronicle the life of gamers in different gaming aspects? Because this has to be clearly a passion project. It just blew into something just way past, I don't want to say your own expectation, but what could be, you know?
I'll tell you where it came from. My background is in experiential marketing, mobile tours, sampling, driving, tune in to television shows, all based in entertainment and sports. So several years back, I read an article about a prolific female gamer who played League of Legends at a tournament in Madison Square Garden, where the article said there were 18,000 spectators, and I found that hard to believe, that 18,000 people were watching somebody play a video game, especially when I was one of those parents telling my kids to go outside and shoot hoops and enough with gaming. And I was fascinated by the scale and depth of gaming that was almost a secret to a certain extent. So I spent about 6 months trying to understand and research everything I could about gaming. And my takeaway, quite simply, was in the 1960s, you had surf, which started essentially as kids on the beach watching surfers, and then they said, hey, I like the flip-flops, the board shorts, the music, and the film of this community, and you could participate in that community, whether you were a great surfer or not a surfer at all. And that was a great niche, still exists. Same thing happened in the 80s and 90s with skate. Kids off curbs, rails, half pipes, then it's, I like the shoes, the skate shoes, shorts, music. Never really got into film because Tony Hawk came out with his video game series,
right,
and that's how that content was consumed instead of film. You can make the same argument that mixed martial arts, extreme sports, follows that same trajectory and those same touch points. When you apply that to gaming, the differences are significant. Well, first of all, there's fashion, there's music, there's art, there's story, there's everything that you have in all the other examples. The difference is, however, there's 2.6 billion people gaming every day in the world, and their access point is as simple as a mobile phone.
Yeah.
And it covers every single subject. So if you like sports, you can play FIFA, you can play Madden, you can play MLB. If you like first-person shooting games, you can play Call of Duty. If you like strategy games, you can play Minecraft. If you like mobile games, which is the single largest growth area in gaming, there's tens of thousands of games. There's a company called Skillz out of San Francisco. They run 2 million daily tournaments for mobile games.
Right.
So you can touch everything and anything in the world in gaming. And I thought, wow, all these people are gaming. It's all about our lifestyle and culture. It is engaging. It's connectivity. It is a force for good. And there should be a network that focuses on that and not just the gameplay. So we built it.
And that's awesome. I mean, like, when you see the success of your work, and you were correct in this, because gaming, it's been around, and quite honestly, I don't think it's going anywhere. But when you see something like that, I got to know, Gary, what was your holy snap moment? Oh, my God, this thing is working. What was that thing that lit a fire into you where you just like, oh, my God, this is it? This is, you know.
Well, yeah. When I saw that there was 2.6 billion people gaming worldwide, and that their gaming activity in Asia or Europe or the Middle East was no different than the gaming habits and engagement that was going on in North America, that it was cross language, cross culture, and I can't in my life, certainly professionally, think of anything that crosses over with that kind of magnitude and that kind of scale. And then when I started talking to people and saying, well, do you game? And most people initially, about a year, year and a half ago, would go, nah, I don't game. That's like, no way.
No, that's just called lying, Gary. That's called lying. Everyone games.
Well, it's true. But everyone, there was this sentiment of if you admitted to being a gamer, you were admitting to having no life, that you were just mindlessly gaming.
Right.
And if you break down gaming, it's actually very prolific because there's story, there's conflict resolution, there's music, there's art, there's engagement, there's strategic thinking, spatial awareness, and high coordination. I mean, there are a lot of attributes that nobody really focuses on or thinks about in terms of gaming.
And that's
correct. And when you break it down, right? And you don't. So, and the other thing that, I find interesting is it, in most homes, when you talk about youth, they say, or parents say, go read, stop gaming, go read, stop gaming. And there's a movement of replacing textbooks in early education with games. And I think most people believe, when they first hear that, it goes, oh my God, you can't really do that. But if you write a book, that's your favorite book, you read it the second, third, fourth, and fifth time, nothing changes. It's a great book, and
right,
you enjoy it, but you have the same characters, same results, and everything else. You do that in a game, you can be a different character. Your end may be different. The story's going to be the same, but you are actually impacting and effectuating potentially a different result, even though you're enjoying the same content. That's pretty powerful. And also with games from an educational standpoint, games inherently are built by success and incentives. So in order for you to get to the next level, you have to show some form of mastery on the level that you are currently on. And that then encourages not only learning, but skills. So games are not conflict with books. They are actually very complementary when balanced and used properly. So the aha moment was when I saw the synthesis of games and content and books and engagement and socialization. I thought, oh yeah, there's a different story to be told. And what's happened since I've started is that you can now get a 4-year academic scholarship to some 300 universities and colleges in the United States as a gamer.
That's true.
And
that's true.
Obviously is the legitimization of gaming. And I find fascinating, because I am a collegiate sports fan, is that gaming has really put the NCAA on its heels, because the competitions in gaming at the collegiate level are not within the purview of the athletic department, but the academic departments from the science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM programs,
mm-hmm.
which means the eligibility for these kids or students is not controlled by the NCAA, meaning that a gamer can play a weekend tournament and win $10,000 and not lose the eligibility to play and compete for the university, where an athlete controlled by the NCAA has a hard time having lunch with a booster and keeping their scholarship.
And
so it's fascinating just from a sociological perspective that gaming has put the NCAA on its heels.
And that's true, mainly because of all the reasons you just said. Mainly because, you know, it's different. No team, or I don't want to say team, no department wants to claim them as gaming because there's no quote-unquote financial ramifications. There's no financial going to the school, just like yourself, how you talk about, you know, programs like football and basketball and just regular collegiate sports. And quite honestly, the player themselves can, you know, do that. Meanwhile, if you're a basketball player, best thing you can do to make some scratches, have a couple of quote-unquote legal pickup games. And hopefully that works out. Now, one thing about gaming that obviously it's been around, I want to pick your brain on this, mainly because when you talk about like the show Gamer IRL and obviously the events that happened this weekend, that wasn't on my initial questions list, but I got to say, you are familiar with the Madden tournament.
Of course.
Okay.
My phone blew up yesterday as soon as it happened, with not only the WHAM employees and staff, our investors, press, everybody was sending texts and emails and going, oh my God, Jacksonville. So I'm very, very familiar with what happened. Tragedy. WHAM as a network, our heart goes out to all the victims, those that were obviously terminally, fatally and those that were injured, but even as much so, everybody that was there that was also emotionally traumatized by being in a situation with an active shooter.
Exactly. And like we talked a little bit about this before you got on the line. This is obviously not a reflection on the gaming community. Actually, this is just one crazy guy, one nut who doesn't know how to lose. I mean, you talked about
Correct.
gaming a minute ago when you talk about evolution. Yeah, it's a little bit about hand-eye coordination, but one thing you ain't learned nothing from gaming is about determination, because you want to see that end result, and usually that end result being good. In this case, this was a person who, at best case, could not handle the pressure of losing. Sometimes you will
Correct.
lose. I look
Correct.
like I'll put my personal story. I've got good friend of mine, William, used to beat me like I stole something every time I played Madden. You know what I did? I went home and I got better. And I didn't, I mean, the best I can say as far as a flare up of anger, it was more like, oh man, you stand up, you do the tropes, stand up while you're playing. You may, I guess, slam a controller. I think that's as best as far as it went, And
Right.
yeah, so.
Yeah, this is a significant societal issue. We're asked about this all the time. There are some sentiments that said that video games lead to violence. I can tell you that I grew up playing cowboys and Indians and cops and robbers and had miniature Civil War and army toys, and we used to hit each other with it and everything else. It never translated to real world activity where I wanted to physically harm anybody.
Same
So
here. I grew up with
it
Street
from the
Fighter
right.
and Mortal Kombat, and I never wanted to impale someone.
Right. And then if you look at, without getting overly political, if you look at the world stage, the level of mass shooting, be it Park Lane, be it a club, a school, I think the single largest place of mass shootings is employment, with disgruntled employees. On a percentage basis, the United States is so far ahead of every other developed country in these incidents happening. It is not video game related. Some of it is the accessibility of guns, and I'm not so sure, good, bad, or otherwise, what a 24-year-old young man is doing with a semi-automatic weapon that's sitting in his trunk while he's competing in a Madden tournament. That in and of itself to me is somewhat concerning. But the United States has an issue, and we've had an issue that's been acute since Columbine. And there hasn't really been a response to it that has done anything to curb the results of the violence, nor the understanding of, is it mental health? Is it the accessibility of guns? Is it the internet? And I don't know what that is, because that's not what I do every day, but it is not tied to video games. I'm happy, to the extent that you can be happy at anything, that the content in which this happened at yesterday was Madden, which is not a violent game.
Right.
I'm
Well,
sure. Right? If that, well, that's true. At
yeah, I
least
mean,
not the video, right? But
exactly.
had
It's
that been,
just sort of like,
Overwatch
yeah.
tournament. Right. But had that been a Call of Duty or an Overwatch tournament,
Right.
I think you would have had a different outcry of the violence in the game and the real-world style shooting in the game and the ultimate result of a mass shooting. The NFL and Madden, it's a leap to make that kind of
Exactly.
stretch to say that that had something to do with it. So I think fortunately for the gaming world, the game was Madden yesterday and not a more aggressive style game. But the issue is substantially greater. It is not esports. It's not gaming. There are some problems in the country that we need to address, from mental health and community and support and alienation. And there's hordes of studies that Facebook causes more alienation than it causes connection. And it's unfortunate and it's sad. And I hope as a society we can ultimately and sooner than later put our minds and our arms around it and come up with a solution.
And that's awesome. And one thing I have noticed as far as like the public statements and outcries of the gaming community, A lot of it is saying, hey, we're not like that. We detest that. We don't condone this. I've read statements from some of the gamers that were there, some of the gaming companies. EA clearly had to make a statement, and they were just saying, like, we don't condone these actions. We are about positivity. We're about bringing people together. That's what the spirit was. It was the spirit of competition. This just spoiled this whole thing. But what people are doing now is showing they want to rise against things of that nature, things of that magnitude, that gamers aren't what that person was. So
True.
that's one thing.
I could tell you, as a founder of what is a gaming network, again, focused on lifestyle and culture and stories and what have you in the gaming world on a global basis, the one of the most outstanding qualities that I have seen in the gaming population is their commitment to inclusivity. And I can give you a very, very, very wonderful story. We are working that will underscore that. We're working with a private school in Los Angeles about the creation of an esports gaming curriculum, elective curriculum for the kids, so that they not only game, but they'll learn about coding and story and art and music and everything about gaming.
That's awesome.
And the administration initially was resistant to supporting any kind of gaming curriculum. And by the time we sat and met with them, some 4 months after we had sent them our original proposal and modifications, I sat down with the headmaster, who said, "When I first saw your idea and read your submission on behalf of the students, I said, 'There's no way. I'm 80% against having an esports gaming curriculum on this campus.' However," she said, "now I'm 80% in support of it if I can figure out the logistics." And she goes, "I'm going to tell you why." And the answer to what made her go from non-resistance, essentially, to almost full support is Fortnite. And Fortnite is obviously the biggest game in the world right now. And she found that the outlier kids, and this is an elementary through high school student body, the outlier kids that started playing Fortnite, they were playing with everybody. So they're playing with the cool kids, the happy kids, the big, social groups and what have you. Because they participated in Fortnite and held their own and did what have you, by the time they got to campus, they were included in the main cliques of socialization on campus.
That's awesome.
And what the principal, the headmaster, said to me was, they have gone through seminars and conferences about how do you stop bullying, how do you get different groups of children together in an inclusive basis. And she said Fortnite did it faster than anything she had ever seen. And that was cool. That was wonderful, that a game can bring more people together than keep them apart.
That's awesome. Mainly as a
Yeah.
Fortnite player, I like to decorate in Fortnite. I mean, like, if they just made just a separate thing of just decorating my place instead of actually playing the game, I think I'm more into that. But I mean, as far as that school goes, as far as that one, that's just awesome. All right, I kept you on a little bit longer than what we had to, but I'm glad you are found the knowledge. You mind if we do a couple of speed round questions?
Feel free.
All right, first thing, what is the game that got you into gaming?
FIFA with my kids.
What year?
Oh, God. Oh, probably 15, 18 years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Now this may be one and the same, Gary, but what is the game that you hold yourself to say, I cannot be beaten in this game. You're going to have a tough time beating me in this.
It wouldn't be a video game. It would probably be Terminator on a pinball machine.
Really?
Or Funhouse. I find that I'm not great at any single video game. That I can be beaten any given day, at any given time.
Okay. Now, obviously, you run a network, you got to be up on current trends, current events, what's happening. What game? Because we're getting around that season where games are going to come out, mainly, the holiday season's coming up. What game this year are you looking forward to the most?
From where we sit as an independent and neutral and agnostic platform, it makes no difference. It's all content to us and the stories behind it. I think Fortnite still has legs. I think the I'll tell you where I think the biggest excitement will come from is the proper inclusion of virtual reality in gaming, and whoever does that best will win
Okay.
because it adds another dimension.
All right. And also, we talked about e-gaming. It's the last one. What's the one on your phone that you have to play? It's just like an itch that needs to be scratched. Everyone has one on their phone. What's yours?
You know what? It is not on my phone for that reason.
What was it? What was it? I gotta know.
I got I think the simplistic way on a phone, because of the way my schedule works from a game perspective, is Words with Friends, because it's easy to do and it doesn't go away. I still enjoy Tetris on my phone. It's old school, but it keeps me engaged.
Yeah, but Gary, you just said you had to delete one. I need to know what that one was, 'cause that's the one.
I'm trying to think. I've deleted so many because I played them too often. I'm actually bringing a blank as to one specific game. I try not to put any of that on my phone. What I hate when it draws the battery and then I have to have a conference call and I'm not connected. So I do it almost as a practical matter. And then I go, now my gaming is somewhat personal for relaxation, and I tried not to do it on my phone.
Smart man, because I've run into that problem a few times. And my game of choice was Star Wars, the Battlefront, the RPG, mainly because at any, like, I had to move more from an action gamer to more of a strat guy
Okay,
because
that
of
makes
that.
sense.
That and Halo Wars. Oh my God, Halo Wars ate up a lot of time.
A lot of people tell me that Angry Birds did that for them.
Oh yeah. Angry
That's
Birds, Candy Crush, but
Candy Crush. I mean, those are, and I hate the phrase, but a time suck that you just, you just stay engaged. And I try not to use my phone that way. In downtime, I could play. I also, I like Madden. I do default to a lot of sports games. I'm not a big first-person shooter game. Even though I think they're fun and enjoyable, and I think my tastes change, and it all, it's a good question. Actually,
Well,
a good
hey,
question.
let's put it like this. Think about it. Gary, you are
I will.
more than welcome back on this podcast. But before you go, please give out all your social media because I want my guys to check you out. I want my people who's listening to check out Wham. Everything, Gary, social media, whatever you want, they're out. Go ahead.
Sure. We are, Wham Network, which is a standalone channel. We're on Twitch TV, so if you go to twitch.tv/Wham Network, you'll get the 24/7 feed. If you have Roku, you can search us on Roku, Xumo, Pluto, 3 weeks on Comcast. We do have social media channels, all the traditional Instagram, Facebook, what have you. You can go to our website, and if you want to meet other gamers, you can go to the iOS or the App Store and put in Wind, WIND app, find gamers, and you'll find people to game with.
Hey Gary, thank you so much for just giving us a little chunk of your time. I know you're a busy man, but just thank you
Always,
so much for
Pam, anything for you guys. Appreciate the time.
thank you,
Be
man.
well, and keep gaming.
I will. All right, later,
All right.
Gary.